Our scripture reading this morning is the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, and the first 21 verses. This is Luke's account, as it was given to him by the Holy Spirit, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope you've done all your shopping. If you're not, we need to pray. You've searched and looked at ideas of gifts, but you searched till you could find that special gift for that special person. And the reason you and I do that is because we love the person or people we're giving gifts to. And God has given us a great and wondrous gift. Nobody can give any greater gift than to give of themselves to another person. Think about the gifts that we give. How long do they last? But we look beyond the gift to the giver. And we look at that gift as an expression of that person's love for us. Now think about God. He gave himself to us and for us. To us to experience his love and his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. And for us, that we would be free from the bondage of sin and death. And have no fear in living and dying. And that gift lasts for eternity. With that in mind, let's look at Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Shall we pray before we read? Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in your presence and come to your throne of grace with confidence, praising you and thanking you for giving yourself to us and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to study this passage, I pray that you will open our hearts and minds to the truth of your word, that your children would be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged, and their relationship with you would be stronger than ever before. And oh, how I pray for those here today who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Oh, that you would come into their heart and show them your love and mercy, that they would come to know Jesus as their Savior. For this I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's holy word, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, 1 through 21. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph, the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Amen. You may be seated. I want us this morning to focus on verse 14. Verse 14. This is a verse that is so deep in meaning and speaks to our hearts, especially at this time of the year. The angel appeared to the shepherds and scared the living daylights out of them because of the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory, the brightness that they had just come from heaven. And the angel gave them the news. And then we're told a multitude of the heavenly host. That's a lot of angels. I don't know how many is in a multitude, but I imagine there was a bunch of them. And what were they doing? They said, "Glory to God in the highest." Now let's look at that phrase. Glory to God in the highest. First of all, we go with the word glory. What does that mean? Glory has basically two meanings. One means to honor. The other means to praise. And so we as Presbyterians love our confession of faith in the shorter catechism, question number one. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. What does it mean to glorify God? What does that mean to you, and how do you and I do it? To glorify God is to honor Him and to lift Him up, which means as we honor ourselves, what happens to God? He goes down. But as we honor and glorify God, we go down. And so when the angel said glory, they were exalting God. And why were they exalting Him? Because He had just had His firstborn and only begotten Son born into the world to save His people from their sin. And so the result of our salvation should be praising God, honoring Him for who He is, the true and living God, and beside Him there are no other gods. And so we honor Him, first of all, for who He is. And secondly, for what He has done on our behalf, freeing us from the bondage of sin and death. So there's the honoring. Then there's the praising. I love this, the music this time of the year. It is so encouraging and so uplifting. But I'm going to tell you something. I like the traditional hymns and Christmas carols. And I've been listening to various radio stations all week. I've heard so many renditions of these. I turn it off. I like the old because it's so uplifting and so encouraging. And I hope and pray that throughout this day, that sometime, maybe just before, during, or after your nap, you will be able to uplift God, praising Him from the depths of our heart, and then giving Him thanks for the life that we have in Christ. So, glory to God. Notice it's to God. To God. In the highest, that prepositional phrase is very important because there's no one equal to are greater than God. He is in the highest. And then the prepositional phrase to God means that you and I individually, personally, glory God. We lift Him up. We sing praises to His name. We've just done this corporately, and we'll do it again at the close of this service. And each of us will, I trust, will just lift our voices from the depths of our hearts in praise and adoration to God. So glory to God in the highest. Now look at the next phrase. And on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. On earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. That last phrase is important. And this is something that we need to be really focused on truth, even on Christmas Day, that the non-believer has no peace. The non-believer will not receive the peace of God because they're spiritually dead and they reject God. And so they have no peace. Jesus said in John, "Peace I give with you, I give to you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That peace that the world gives is all external, every bit of it. The peace that Christ gives is internal. And why is it internal? Now we go to the word peace. And we look at the word, not in the Greek, but we look at the Hebrew background of shalom. And it means peace, first of all, with God. There's reconciliation with God. And when we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're no longer separated from God. We're no longer an enemy of God, but we are a child of God. And that relationship is restored. And we're reconciled with God, and we have peace with Him. And that is the only way to have peace with God, is to be reconciled with Him through Christ. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're here this morning and your peace with the Lord is unsettled, why is it unsettled? Because there's sin in your life, sin that hasn't been confessed and repented and forgiven. And so I would encourage you to go before the Lord. Pray Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." When you do that, the Holy Spirit's going to show you the sin. And then you personally confess to the Lord and repent and ask for forgiveness, and you will be forgiven, and you will have peace. So there's reconciliation between ourselves and God. And that peace is described by the Apostle Paul as a peace which surpasses all understanding. And it really is, as you and I experience that. And so I hope and pray that you have this peace. Another part of reconciliation with God is the assurance of salvation. It is so sad that many believers walk around fearing they can lose their salvation. You cannot lose it. Jesus said, "All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." You will not be thrown out of the family of God. Jesus also says, "No one can snatch them out of my hand. I and my Father are one." If our eternal security rested on our ability to keep it secure, we would never be able to do that. But our eternal security is in Christ, just like our salvation is in Christ. And this is guaranteed by God. And when we understand this in the depth of our heart, that peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding gets even deeper. Do you ever have a day when you wonder if you're a Christian because of what you've thought and what you've desired and what you have done and what you have said? How can I be a Christian when I'm thinking like this? What is wrong with me? You see, assurance goes out the window because it's based on feelings and my own ability. But our assurance of salvation, like our salvation itself, is based on Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the assurance He gives to us. In 1 John 5, he that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. This gift that God has given to us is the greatest gift in the world. It is a precious gift. And it's eternal. And I hope and pray that in this Christmas day, as you and I go through this day and the fellowship with family and some friends, we reflect on the relationship that we have with one another and the relationship we have with Christ. And as a result of that, you and I have a peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding. But if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, this goodwill is not for you. The peace is not for you until such time that you come to know Christ as Savior. And there's no better time than the present to come to know Christ and to experience that love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we praise Your holy and majestic name. And we thank You for the gift that You've given to us, the gift of Yourself and Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the salvation we have. We thank You for the assurance of that salvation. And we thank You for the peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding. I pray as we go through this day, that we will be like the shepherds. We will be praising You and telling others about Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, for anyone here today who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that You speak clearly to their hearts and bring them to Yourselves. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord has spoken to your heart. Now, this is a hymn that we stand and sing as a result of that peace, is the joy that we have. Let us stand and sing Joy to the World. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish but have everlasting life. What a promise. What a gift. Would you receive the benediction? May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.